read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ, came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Matthew's account of the birth of the Messiah places emphasis on the role of Joseph and his connection with the Davidic line. Luke places stress on Mary. Some celebrations at our church this last Sunday opened up a different path through which I might approach the Christmas feast. Some time ago, a beloved member of our community, Sister John Maureen Bakenstosh, a Holy Name sister, came up the river for a sabbatical after teaching high school for 40 years. Rather than spend a quiet year, she was pulled into the needs of the area and taught CCD and even set up the food bank for the people along the Mackenzie River. This phase of her life lasted 30 years, and recently at 90, she retired. She'd lived by herself in a small house in the forest, about a mile from us, with her two beloved dogs. As a younger sister, Marilyn Nunmaker, started to clear out the house, she began to find ever so many poems on bits of paper tucked in books, even on napkins. These were not pious, sentimental musings, but the strong expression of a world-class poet. So last Sunday, Sister John returned, and we held a book signing party after Mass. In my remarks, I warn the people with the strong words of Dylan Thomas as he declares the role of a poet. "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at the close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, on that sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." I found such intensity, a holy rage for life, in the poetry of Sister John. Let me give you an example. How many times have I walked or fished a riverbank and swung on a branch to avoid stepping in the water, only to plunge my leather boot into the shallows? This poem from Sister John is called "I Move Alone." "I move alone along the riverbank, trusting a few slim branches with my weight, while I swing past some shoreless place where there is choice of risk or water. No matter how many times I come here, I always end alone, choosing my wild steps that no one wants to try. Moving at rhapsody or whim, stepping all too often into the clammy wetness even I would wish against. But it has to be. There's no voiding my will to be where I am not yet." The poet Mary Oliver, a favorite of Sister John's, admonishes us to pay attention, be astonished, and then tell your story. Such hard work leads to enchantment and a poetry at the very center of human experience. These were not the sentimental musings of a nice old lady. Reading further in the book, Book of Poems, I discovered the evidence of what I would call a successful celibacy. When I was a young priest, I worked in an ecumenical campus ministry and shared an office with Virginia Curtis, a Methodist campus minister, very competent. She was older than I was and had two college-age sons. I was always attentive and a little jealous to notice how many of the Catholic young men sought out her opinions on their problems. She knew what she was talking about. She, on the other hand, as encouragement for me, would say that it was good that I was single and could spend so much time with the students. But I really felt this was not what celibacy is all about. It has to do with an attentiveness, much as we find in Joseph in today's gospel and in Sister John's poetry. A special astonishment, a holy rage, if you will, with life's mystery that leads us to speak a unique word of love. Pope Francis encourages us to live in the present and also to be attentive to small things, and then to ground our choices in discernment. This is the genius of Jesuit spirituality. We Dominicans would speak of a contemplative process of life, taking these simple mysteries that would lead us into the appropriate action and even the expression of beauty. We use these thoughts to lead us to the crib of wonder and the most profound attentiveness. I've chosen a poem by St. John of the Cross that beautifully connects us with the Christmas mystery. I've used a translation found in the book Love Letters from God, which makes John much more accessible to the contemporary reader. The poem is entitled, If You Want. If you want, the virgin will come walking down the road pregnant with the Holy and say, I need shelter for the night. Please take me inside your heart. My time is so close. Then under the roof of your soul, you will witness the sublime intimacy, the divine, the Christ, taking birth forever. As she grasps your hand for help, for each of us is the midwife of God, each of us. Yes, there under the dome of your being does creation come into existence eternally. Through your womb, dear pilgrim, the sacred womb in your soul, as God grasps our arms for help, for each of us is his beloved servant, never far. If you want, the virgin will come walking down the street pregnant with light and sing. Can it be that Mary, even now, reaches out with fierce urgency to grasp our hand as she brings forth the Savior? Let it be so for you in these holy days, and Merry Christmas.